Tomorrow night, two young authors, Katia D. Ulysses from Haiti and Tiffany Unique from St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, will read from their debut novels at the Enoch Pratt Library in Baltimore. Miss Ulysses' book, Drifting, is a collection of interlinked short stories about four Haitian families. I'll be speaking with her about that book in the fall. And this morning, Tiffany Unique joins me on the line from New York to talk about her fascinating book, Land of Love and Drowning. It tells the story of the Bradshaw family, how their lives and loves are intertwined and inextricably informed by the idyllic, magical islands and its complex history. Tiffany Unique, welcome to Maryland Morning.
Thank you for having me, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
So this book is terrific. I really enjoyed it. Let's start by talking about the location, the Virgin Islands. It takes place in a number of the Virgin Islands, St. Thomas, St. John, St. Croix, and a sort of really magical place called Anegada. Tell us about how this location, permeates everything in this novel.
If anybody knows anything about the Virgin Islands, it's about how beautiful it is. But we don't have to know so much as tourists about the Virgin Islands as a place of intellectual stimulation and culture outside of carnival culture. So I really wanted to explore the coming together of that beautiful land and really the beautifully rich people as well.
Early in the novel, we hear about the celebrations for Transfer Day, where control of the Virgin Islands is transferred from the Dutch to the United States. How was that such a formative event in the history of the Virgin Islands?
In 1917, the Virgin Islands, which was then the Danish West Indies, gets transferred from Danish rule, Denmark, to U.S. rule. So the U.S. effectively buys us from Denmark. That's a huge transformation in our cultural identity. Lucky for us, we had already been speaking English, but in other ways, we were definitely Danish and most definitely Caribbean, West Indian. And being American was a whole new kind of thing. And to be honest, it took us, the entirety of the 20th century to really begin to understand what effects this new Americanization had on the Virgin Islands. And I say we because I'm also a Virgin Islander.
Mm-hmm. And thanks for the correction. I said Dutch and I misspoke there. It's Danish control. That's a very different thing.
Common mistake, actually.
Yeah. Several real historical events transpire in the course of the novel. One of the most important events in the history of the islands is the appearance of Hurricane Mary. And there's a big scene, several scenes concerning that here in the book. How did that change life on the island?
So Hurricane Mary is not a real hurricane. The hurricanes that I'm basing Hurricane Mary on are Hurricane Hugo and Hurricane Marilyn. Hugo in the 80s and Marilyn in the 90s. And both these hurricanes affected the Virgin Islands tremendously. It really destroyed many of the physical infrastructures on the island. But you know, it also did a funny thing to our cultural awareness because suddenly we didn't have TV, we didn't have access to regular radio, we didn't have electricity. I personally, growing up on St. Thomas, didn't have electricity for 3 months after Hurricane Marilyn. And in many ways, it pushed us back to a time when in the early 1900s, before we had become so, we might use the word modern, or in the Virgin Islands case, American. So we began to really, I think, rethink what it meant to be from the Virgin Islands.
Let's talk about a couple of the characters, a few of the characters that we meet in the course of the book. It begins with Owen Arthur, the sort of patriarch of this family who's married to a woman named Antoinette. Owen Arthur is a ship captain. Tell us a little bit about him.
He is influenced a little bit by the story of my true great-grandfather. In 1926, my great-grandfather's ship, the Fancy Me, went down off the coast of what was then called Santo Domingo. Now we know it as the Dominican Republic. And the going down of that ship, and he went down with it, was a huge change in the Virgin Islands culture and history, but particularly in my family. Our family went from being a middle-class, upper middle-class family to quickly being a working-class, financially struggling family almost overnight. And that's how my story has been influenced by the true story, my story, this novel. Because Owen Arthur Bradshaw, as you quickly learn, does leave his family. And that causes a huge shift in this family's prospects. But it's also a sort of metaphor for what happens when the Virgin Islands becomes American.
And his wife, Antoinette, she dreams of coming to the United States.
Antoinette is hopefully dreaming, aspiring to be a fashion designer. She makes intricate, beautiful lace gloves and dresses and shawls and hats. And these things are useful and thought of as sort of a woman's hobby on the island, but she wants it to be much more.
And two of their daughters, of Antoinette's daughters, Iona and Annette, fascinating characters, and we learn a lot about them. And one of the first things we learn is that they were both extremely beautiful women, and that beauty really shapes their relationships with people and people's reactions to them. Talk a little bit about Iona and what's going on in her development throughout the novel.
She, I think, comes to understand her beauty as kind of a curse and a gift, that throughout the book she tries to figure out how to utilize this to help her get to a place of stability and to accomplish her own dreams. In some ways, I'm thinking about her beauty as also being a reference to the natural beauty of the Virgin Islands, a place that is so stunningly beautiful that often we don't know how to treat it, and that often we sully it in our attempt to enjoy it. So Iona sometimes is sullied by those who find her most attractive.
And her sister Annette has an interesting series of relationships, and we won't give too much away, but one of them becomes, you know, very, very troubled. But she's also quite a unique and compelling character.
Annette is based lightly on my grandmother. One of the things that both these sisters, Iona and Annette, have is a type of magic. Annette has a magic that makes men fall in love with her. She has a bubbly, incredibly effusive, positive personality like my grandmother. And that makes men want to be close to her and want to be in her orbit.
I want to talk real quickly as we finish up about your wonderful storytelling technique and your use of forecasting what happens to people in the future. Oftentimes, right after we meet them, you immediately sort of tell us where they end up or give us an idea of what happens ultimately, and then you fill in the story. That it's really effective, the way the story is structured. Had you used that technique in your previous book as a series of short stories, is this something that you turn to often?
My first book is called How to Escape from a Leper Colony, and that's a collection of stories. So I thought I would master these strange techniques in my stories and then apply what I hope would be mastery to the novel. And yeah, I'm really interested in what it means to be an omniscient storyteller. What does it mean to know the whole story already? And I thought, well, if the narrator knows everything, then where's the mystery? I thought, well, the act of telling itself is interesting. Not what's going to happen necessarily, but how we find out what's going to happen. And so I wanted to play with that. What happens when we know the ending? If we know the ending already, why do we read? Well, hopefully we read for the beauty of the story.
Well, it is indeed a beautiful story. So thanks so much for writing it and for sharing your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Tiffany Yannick, her debut novel is called Land of Love and Drowning. She'll be reading from the book tomorrow night at the Enoch Pratt Central Library. She'll be appearing with the Baltimore-based writer Katia D. Ulysses, whose new collection of interlinking stories is called Drifting. You can meet both authors tomorrow night at 6:30 in the Poe Room at the Pratt. Come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. For more details. That's our show for today. Coming up Wednesday morning on Maryland Morning, Sheila will have a conversation about changes in Somerset County, and I'll talk to an historian about the history of Charles Street, which runs from the heart of Baltimore City to the hills of Baltimore County. That's all on tap for Wednesday, and we hope you'll be able to join us. Maryland Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WIPR, in Baltimore. When you come to our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning, you can learn more about what you've heard on the show, and you can catch something you've missed, or you can leave us a comment. The show is produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. We've got production help from Brandon Block, Alexandra Kennedy, and Justina Latimer. For Sheila, Nathan, and the entire Maryland Morning team, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.